Okay, welcome to Technocratic Tyranny News. It's nearly 7:30. I haven't planned a show, but I'm going to do a show anyway. I'm just going to look for some clips and see what we've got on BitChute, I think, to begin with. So I might take 1 second to set this up, but I'll see what's happening on BitChute. So this is from GB News.
Have gotten worse.
Absolutely. I've been in law and order for 43 years. I joined the police service at 19 years of age. I'm now 63. I served 31 years as a frontline officer, half of my career as a detective, 6 years of those on a robbery squad. Since I've retired, I've seen the streets of Britain go out of control. The police cannot cope. It's not entirely their fault. Theresa May and this government cut the police service by 22,000. So 10 years ago, it was about then, although it was happening before then, police lost the streets. I'm ashamed to say that. I dedicated the best part of my life to keeping society safe. You're talking about knife crime and whether people should get involved. During my 31 years, I disarmed, I think, 6 or 7 knife offenders that came at me or were armed with a knife. Once I received a superficial injury. Another time I received a stab wound to my chest and very nearly died, arresting an armed burglar who committed 3 burglaries. In that time, I also recovered. Dozens of knives from children and those walking the streets or railway premises, on trains, transport properties. And I am just one police officer. Only 3 weeks ago, 2 of our colleagues, a female officer and a male officer, were fighting for their life on one evening, having been attacked. The female officer has got life-changing injuries. The male officer, it was only because an armed response unit turned up with pads and everything else to save lives that they do when they attend shootings and stabbings, that the other officer was saved. Now, that's what happens to police officers. So you're going to ask a question. What should the public do?
Well, no, I'm going to ask you, how do we get control of the police, of the streets? But I'm going to caveat it briefly, because the obvious answer is get more officers. But that's going to take time. So in the here and the now, what do we do?
Michelle, the criminal justice system is not fit for purpose. Police join the police not to stop black suspects, not to nick motorists, not to plague the public and marchers, but to work together to keep the public safe, to attend victims, to reassure the public by visual presence on the streets and in motor vehicles. 2/3 of police time have lost 22,000 officers. They're only just returning, so they're all young and in training. What does it actually say when Toby has rightly stated there, and you did as well, that we're telling the public we are now going to attend if you've been a victim of burglary? What does that say about a criminal justice system? Because when I joined the police service, we attended every single call. We attended it within minutes. We attended them in numbers. We took no nonsense. We have a police service now that just want to police. We've got police chiefs that are lost. They can't control police officers. Supervisors can't supervise. Some of them are more interested in promotion. So young officers that are just joining have got no one to look up to. And when they go out on the streets, every call they attend, they have 1 to 7 mobile phones stuck up their nostril or every other place when they're getting involved in a difficult arrest. It's posted on social media. Look how dreadful the police are. I'm afraid the criminal justice system is not fit for purpose. And if you don't listen to someone like me, 43 years, I'm one of Britain's leading law and order campaigners, having given 31 years of my life to policing. If you don't listen to me, and they didn't 20 years ago when I went in full uniform to number 10 Downing Street and said, unless you get a grip of knife crime, Mr. Blair, knife crime will be out of control and in crisis. Look at the streets today, Michelle. Are they in control?
Sadly, it seems they are not. Norman, fascinating stuff as always. Emma, you know,
Princess of Wales is in Northern Ireland for a day-long visit to the region. She's accompanied by the Prince of Wales, obviously. Anyway, Kate and Will have held a series of engagements across the United Kingdom, meeting locals and community organisations, including, importantly, a suicide prevention charity in North Belfast called PIPS. But one local wasn't too enthusiastic about the visit. Check this out.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, well, there we go. Okay, apparently that was something. Anyway, joining me now to discuss relations between Northern Ireland and the Royals is former Royal correspondent Michael Cole. Michael, there we go. So I must admit, I actually didn't hear anything there, but what, there was some negativity towards Kate, was there?
Yeah, I think so. But she coped with it very well. I think she was slightly taken by surprise by those comments. But listen, Patrick, you don't need me to tell you there's been 500 years of bad blood between Britain and Ireland. And this on the scale is probably at the very bottom end of it. I mean, royal visits were always problematic in 1966. That's 2 years before the recent troubles actually began in 68. The Queen was in her car and somebody on a building site on a scaffolding dropped a huge building block, which made a great dent in the bonnet of the royal car. So things can be rough, but they've been a lot, lot better since the Good Friday Agreement of 1999. And the Queen's state visit to Ireland was absolutely a triumph in 2011. And Martin McGuinness, former leader of Sinn Féin, now dead, he was very gracious in his comments. He shook hands with the Queen. Mary Robinson, the first woman president of Ireland, became quite a close confidant and almost a friend of the Queen.
Just to interrupt, Michael, I've just had a bit of clarity about what this lady apparently said to Kate. Yeah. She said, "Nice to meet you, but it would be better if it was when you're in your own country." Bit racist,
isn't
it?
I did hear that. I think that's a reasonably mild comment. I think it's people are entitled to have that opinion and to express it. And she expressed it in a polite way. She was happy to shake hands with the Princess of Wales. I think the Princess of Wales was slightly taken aback. She clearly heard it, but she coped with it. And Prince William didn't hear it because, you know, we live in a democracy. If ever there is a majority in the 6 counties of Northern Ireland to join the Irish Republic, well, then, of course, the British government will take great note of that. There never has been to date. But at the moment, of course, in the Stormont government, the majority party is Sinn Féin, and it was noticeable at the time of the funeral how gracious, how generous the leader of Sinn Féin was in expressing her condolences to the new king.
Yeah, Michael, I mean, who's the real loser there? This woman's queued up all day just to say something rather polite / borderline racist towards Kate. I mean, get a job. Anyway, meanwhile, we have actually learned now, I've got to put this to you, that this evening, that Prince Harry is among, I'm learning this for the first time as I'm talking to you, it's breaking news this. So Prince Harry is among a group that has launched legal action against the Daily Mail, the Mail on Sunday and the Mail Online over alleged phone hacking. There we go. Gosh, okay. Go on, Michael.
Well, That's very interesting. Of course, there's been a long legal history of legal actions against the Mail and the Mail on Sunday, most of which, so far, Meghan and Harry have won. If you go back to the phone hacking incident, which was the one which closed down the News of the World, was conducted by the then royal editor and his operative, who was doing these sort of things, and they were hacking into the recorded phone messages of Prince Harry and Prince William. That was all exposed. Clive Goodman went to jail, as did the man who actually was doing it. And that, of course, led to Rupert Murdoch closing down after, I think, 150 years, the good old News of the World, which... has or has not been reborn as the Sun on Sunday. So this could be quite a serious moment if it is true. In all of those phone hacking allegations, which came out, and I must say that I was one of the people who was hacked at that time, so I have an interest in this. In all of those allegations, the Daily Mail and the Mail on Sunday were never in the firing line. There was no litigation against either newspaper. So this very much
is fascinating. Well, it's fascinating, Michael, because for a couple of reasons. Because
it's not as fascinating as he thinks it is. I'm going to move on to see what's on YouTube. Just see if we can catch up on some. Slightly more current news than phone hacking. I'm going to let's have a look at Sky News and see what's on that. Yes, Sky News Live. Let's try.
Raises very serious questions about the lack of transparency here, about conflicts of financial interest, about the potential sharing of government information, ultimately, indeed, about national security.
Mr. Fulbrook is a veteran campaigner, lauded for helping John Major hold on to power in 1992 and for securing the Tory leadership for Boris Johnson in 2019. His involvement in Zach Goldsmith's disastrous 2016 shot at the London mayoralty was more controversial. This summer, Mr. Fulbrook tried and failed to get Nadeem Zahawi elected party leader, before pivoting to Penny Mordaunt's campaign, and finally settling on Liz Truss, who appointed him her chief of staff last month.
Is he an appropriate person to be a chief of staff, considering that he was involved in an FBI bribery investigation?
Well, being involved in an investigation is not being convicted of anything, but still less accused of anything. So I think, you know, one should be very careful here. I think Mark Fulbrook is a decent and honourable man.
As the PM negotiates political storms, Mr. Fulbrook may not be at her side for long. Reports suggest he may soon be heading to Tory HQ to prepare for the next general election. Joe Pike, Sky News, Westminster.
At least 22 people have died after two migrant boats sank in waters off a Greek island. Others who are on the boats remain missing, despite the best efforts of local residents and firefighters to pull people from the water. Our Europe correspondent Adam Parsons now reports.
Lit by torches, helped by strangers and scrambling for safety. These are the people who survived the shipwreck off the coast of Kythira. Their sailing boat wrecked on the rocks, a victim of a ferocious sea that battered this coast, winds rising to around 45 miles an hour. And in that turbulent water, people still pleading for rescue. Ropes thrown down, but it is one thing to grab it and another to climb out. Look in the distance. Amid the turmoil, a man grabs the life ring. But then the waves rise up and he loses grip. The first response here came from locals accustomed to the dangers of the sea. In recent times, the island has become the focus of migrant boats trying to avoid the Greek Navy, which has strengthened its patrols in other places.
We heard voices crying and asking for help. So there was a group of volunteers that we ran into the place, and we saw all these people that they were in a very stiff beach, and it was impossible for them to move. So the people here, they just dropped them ropes in order to help them to climb up the hill.
Those patrols often come here, the waters off Lesbos, scene of another grim wreck in the early hours of the morning. It is an island where migrant deaths have become all too familiar. This, another chapter.
These tragedies that we are aware of are the result of people being forced to choose every time even more and more increasingly dangerous migration routes in order to avoid the systemic violence and the pushbacks encountered at the EU external borders.
European leaders met in Prague today with migration prominent on their agenda. It is a complex topic that weighs heavily in politics across the continent. Prime Minister Liz Truss said she was keen to lead a debate on the topic. She's not alone. In the waters off these islands, it was another night marked by death. And as long as these migrant boats take to the sea, it will happen again. Adam Parsons, Sky News.
Okay, so that's the live Sky feed at the moment. I don't want to cover too much of that, but that's basically the news for the day. So there's less political news than there was yesterday, obviously. Less opinions politically. I think people are just shell-shocked by the whole thing. I certainly am. But that's enough for tonight, I think. I shall call that one a day, and I'll be back in just over an hour and 10 minutes maybe, for the music show on Podbean, and then an hour after that, I'll be on the Hawk's Nest on Revolution Radio. So, see you later.